There is. Thank you for listening to this audio message from Grace Life Center Charismatic Renewal Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit our website www.gracelifecenter.com or call 657-206-7729.
Break every chain, break every chain. Yeah, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Growing together in grace, growing together in grace. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we are going to grow together in grace program. What it is really is an opportunity for us to deepen our understanding of who we are in Jesus.
Amen.
And then take advantage of that identity we have in Jesus to transform our lives, to change our lives, to become who he wants us to be, to live the life of grace that he wants us to live. So the way we've packaged it is that we're going to put people in prayers. We're going to pair up people male to male, female to female. We're going to be having time over the phone, over text, over social media to exchange the word of God, to go through a specific outline. I'm putting together that outline right now. It's a powerful outline, amen,
amen,
that will deepen your understanding of who you are in the Lord Jesus. So we'll do it over a 6 or 7 week period, beginning on the 29th of March, and then through to Pentecost weekend, which is the 24th of May. And then that weekend, we'll then come together and have a 1-day or 2-day retreat, maybe 1 day. I think 1 day should be fine, where we, all those things we've learned for the 7 weeks, we will lift our hands to heaven and ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to bring it to reality in our lives. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I am so excited about it. It's going to be life transforming. Can I hear amen?
Amen?
You will learn so many things about who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ that your life cannot remain the same. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so this morning, the message I want to share with us is to set the stage for that. It's to motivate us. Praise God. The message I'm going to share with us today is going to touch a little bit on it. I'm hoping that it will set some fire in you. And you say, wow, wow, Pastor, you mean this is in the Bible? Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And it will reorient your mind towards who you are in the Lord Jesus. What God has done in you and to you and for you through his grace, because of who Jesus is. That's what I'm going to share with us tonight, this morning. And I'm also hoping that part of what will come out of this message will be a desire in you to go back to the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
I found that a lot of us as Christians, after you've become a Christian for a while, you lose the shock and awe, for lack of a better word. You lose the shock and awe of the word of God. Because by the time they say open to Romans chapter 6, I know that passage he wants to read. Yeah, the Bible says that. So as soon as we start reading, your mind is no longer engaged because you think or you feel like you already know what we are going to say. And so you lose the mystery. Somebody said, a pastor I was listening to, he said that the challenge with a lot of Christians is that God is no longer a mystery to them. We figured him all out completely. Our small little puny brain has totally figured out God. But the key to revival, the key to growing deeper, the key to excitement in the Christian world is that every day you are discovering something new that you never knew about the Lord. Because you know God is infinite. How many of us know that God is infinite? How many of you know that infinite has no finite?
Yes.
Has no boundaries. It means that the deeper you go, the deeper there is more to go. Can I hear amen?
Amen?
That's who God is. The deeper you go in God, the deeper you realize, oh my God, I haven't even figured out. I've just scratched the surface. God is like a mighty big iceberg. When you see the iceberg on the sea, you say, wow, what a big ice. How many of us know that the ice you see is nothing compared to the ice you don't see in an iceberg? Can I hear amen?
Amen?
That is the God that you serve. So my prayer and my hope today is that part of what I'm going to share with you is not is going to stimulate you to go back to the Word of God, to come to the Word of God with fresh eyes. And see, oh my God, is this the God that I am serving? Amen. And then the third outcome from this message, I am hoping, is to get you uncomfortable. Can I hear amen? I want to make us uncomfortable. I want to shake some of our long-held beliefs. You know, and the reason why it is necessary for us to shake them, because the Bible says, when the Lord shakes the air, the things that are shakeable will fall away. I want you to get uncomfortable because we are too comfortable as Christians. Praise the Lord. Is somebody with me? We are too comfortable. We have the theory in our head. We are not seeing the practical, and yet we are comfortable. Instead, we then create another theory to explain why we are not seeing the practical of the theory before. You understand what I'm saying? Let me give an example. The Bible says that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. All things have passed away. And all things have become new. But the Bible says that. Who knows where that Bible verse is? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All things have passed away. Let me ask you, how many of us here can genuinely say that all the old rubbish things in your life have passed away? All of them. Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. Alright. How many of us can say that everything about you has become new? But we know that that's what the Bible says. We know the theory of it. So do you know what we then do? We then come and create another theory. Because we are not seeing it manifest in our life, we then create another theory and we then say, well, what the Bible maybe may mean here is that things are becoming new and we are leaving the old behind and then we are moving forward. Is that amen? So we created a brand new theory to explain away something that we read in the Bible and we say, it's not saying, God, why is this thing not happening in my life? Can I hear amen? Amen. So some of what I want to do today is to make you uncomfortable. Like that verse. Like the verse that says in 1 John that he that is born of God cannot sin. You know, that's what the Bible says. If you are born of God, you cannot sin. Amen. Amen. So we don't just create another theology to explain. You know, I was listening to one minister. He said that, do you know that Jesus Christ didn't give a theology on unanswered prayers? Do you know that if you read Jesus Christ didn't explain what happens when you don't have an answered prayer? Because every prayer he prayed, God answered. So he never taught them what to do when their prayers are unanswered. Instead, all he said is continue to pray until you see the answer. That's what Jesus said. He has no teaching on, okay, maybe this is not what God wants. God says this, God, so you now stop praying about it. No. Jesus said, once you start praying to your Father about something, persist in it until the answer comes. Are you still here? Praise the Lord. No, I appreciate and I understand that during this message, I'm going to get a lot of quietness. Amen. People will be shifting in their chairs. Don't worry. It's deliberate. Can I hear amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So I'd like you to open your Bible with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Because as I was putting together this message today, I heard the Lord say to me clearly, the Lord said to me clearly, my children, Christians, don't have a sin problem. We have an identity problem. If you're writing down, write that down. And then when you go home, think about it and meditate. Christians don't have a problem with sin. They don't have a sin problem. What they have is a problem with their identity, with who they are in Christ Jesus, with what God has done in them and to them because they are in Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2. God forbid. New King James Version says, certainly not. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So I want to ask you to put your finger on that verse. I'm going to come back to it. That's where I'm going to close. So when I come back to that verse, you know I'm about to close the service. Can I hear amen? Amen. But I want to take us somewhere before I come back here. Amen. We have not appreciated the depth of what God, through His grace, has done to us and in us. We have not. My mom used to say that the day you appreciate all God did for you in Jesus on the cross, your life cannot remain the same. It will be completely transformed. So, let's look a little bit at what the Bible says God did for us in Jesus. Can I hear amen? Amen. And I'd like you to put your finger on Romans 6 verse 1 and 2 as I go to Ephesians chapter 1. From verse 3 to verse 6. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3 to verse 6. If you are still here, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with some spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
No.
What does the Bible say?
All.
He has blessed us with how many?
All.
No. Are you sure this is in the Bible?
All. That's what all means. That's all.
What does all? In the Greek, all. This word all means all. It doesn't mean all in French. Can I hear amen? Amen. If you look at it in Hebrew, all means
all.
Hallelujah.
How
many blessings has God given you?
All.
All the blessings that you need in your spirit. All the spirit blessings in the spirit. God says He has given them to you. You know, when the Lord first showed me this passage many years ago, I used to preach from that verse. And then when I come up, I will start and I will say, you cannot be more... What's the correct word? Say, you cannot be wealthier than you are right now. Whoa! You cannot be richer than you are right now. You cannot. Because He has already given you all the blessings. In 1 Peter or 2 Peter, he said that in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says He has blessed you with all you need for life and godliness. That's what he said. All. Praise the Lord. But he says, all these blessings, you receive them who or where? In the heavenly places, in Christ. In Christ. So, what happens is that when you, in Christ, when God puts you in Christ, the moment He puts you in Christ, He deposited in your spirit man. Because you are made of spirit, soul, and a body. Or you are a spirit with a soul living in a body. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Can somebody say, I am a spirit.
With a soul.
Living in a body. So when God, who is spirit, wants to bless you, He blessed you in your spirit. Because that's who you really are. When God came to Adam and said, Adam, the day you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. The day he ate the fruit, did we put Adam in the grave? No. But did Adam actually die? Who or what died in Adam? His spirit died. His spirit died. Was separated and cut off from God. He continued to walk around. He continued to talk. In fact, he lived for another 930 something years. In the physical. But all that period, he was separated from God. He was dead in the spirit. God says that when He puts you in Christ, in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1, God then made you alive in your spirit, and then deposited in you all the blessings. That's why I call it the spiritual blessings. Healing. Deliverance. No, let me not shortchange the word of God, because he then went on to explain what the spiritual blessings are. So let's go to verse 2 of Ephesians. Amen. Sorry, verse 4. So he put all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as he had chosen us in him. So he chose you in him. Now, as you read this passage, I want you to note a particular phrase. In Christ. In him. In whom? In Jesus. Because that is the two-word phrase that keeps getting repeated for you to understand what's going on here. He chose you in Christ. When did he choose you in Christ?
Before
the foundation of the world. Like I said, I'm going to shake us a little bit. Amen. So let me make my first announcement. It wasn't the day you repented that God chose you. No, I think they will hear it better. This part, I think they are not listening. I said, it wasn't the day you accepted Jesus that God chose you. He chose you in Christ. Before you, your parents were even born. Before the world was even formed. That's why he said in Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3, he said, with an everlasting love have I loved you. I loved you from eternity. He chose you in him before the foundation of the world. Oh, go on. Amen. I know this is like another verse I want to use. I want to come back to Romans 6. Amen. But God said to me, the problem my children have is not a sin problem. It's an identity problem. They don't know who they are and what I have done in their lives. He chose you in him before the foundation of the world. So let me ask you, if he chose you before the world began, what can happen in the world to make him unchoose you? If he chose you before you even showed up, what can you do to make him unchoose you? He chose you where? In him before the foundation of the world. The only question you need to ask yourself is, are you where? In him. That we should be holy. So, he chose you. He said that you will be holy in him. He said that you should be without blame. Where?
In him.
In him. He says that you are before him in love. Where? In him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's quickly go on. Because I want to get to something. Verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. His grace. This is what is his grace. This is his grace. His grace. All he has done for you that you did not deserve. Without any input. You know what said to me? You have nothing to contribute. He said, you contributed nothing to your salvation because you have nothing to contribute. You have contributed nothing to all I have done because you have nothing to contribute. Let me go on. Verse 6, to the praise and glory of his grace, which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Again, in the beloved. Verse 7, in whom? In where? In him. In whom? What do we have? Redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Where did we get the forgiveness of sin? In him. When? Before the foundation of the world. Let me go on. Amen. According to the riches of his grace. Verse 8. Wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us in the mystery of his will, according according to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself. So let me quickly say this. Amen. If you are still here, say amen.
Amen.
So the Bible says, in the foundation of the world, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit sat down and made all these decisions in eternity before anything started. And so we're going to, anybody in Christ, we're going to adopt them. We're going to love them. We're going to bless them, you know, etc., etc. Amen. Amen. Then the Bible says in verse 10, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So he now said that in the fullness of time, 2,000 years ago, a man called Jesus Christ, God the Son, the Word in the flesh, showed up and revealed to the world on the cross of Calvary all God has done from the foundation of the world. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
If you are here, say amen.
Amen.
And then in verse 13, he now says, in whom you also now trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel. So God proposed it in his heart in the foundation of the world. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came and did it and manifested it. And then 5 years ago, you accepted what God had done.
Okay.
Is somebody with me?
Amen.
Can you see the sequence? Amen. God proposed it from the foundation of the earth and did all these things for you. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time to announce it and manifest it and died on the cross. And then you then heard the message of the good news and you accepted it and you made it your own. So what God has done for all mankind is not applicable to all, only to those who accept and receive it. Amen.
Amen.
But let me explain to us what in him means. Hallelujah. Let me use this to illustrate what in him means. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, imagine that this is Jesus Christ, the beloved. Amen?
Amen.
This is Jesus. This beautiful golden bowl is the one I love. And imagine I'm God the Father. I protect this. I love it. I worship it. But I just, you know, every time I see it, I rejoice. I say, I am so pleased that you are my beloved son. Amen.
Amen.
Now this is you or me. Amen. This piece of paper. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
It litters the floor. It's dirty. It's not acceptable. I want to trash it. Amen. It's a mess. Amen. How many of us know what we do with messes? We pack them up and we do what? We trash them. Praise the Lord. So, if God looks at you just by you, God can only condemn and judge and destroy you. Can I hear amen? Because your sins have made a separation between you and God. It will automatically provoke the judgment of God. Once God beholds you, you can't even come into his presence. Praise the Lord. But once God beholds Jesus, his son, God wants to bless. He wants to love. He wants, because Jesus lived a perfect life. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Jesus, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 3, that what God did was that he then took you, deserving of judgment, and put you where?
In him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So where are you right now?
In him.
So when he looks at you, what does he see?
Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When he wants to bless you, he says, oh, the devil will come and remind God and say, oh, can't you see that she lied yesterday? He said, really? When he looks at you, he sees And then he releases his blessing.
Amen.
Because you are where?
In
because
him.
You are in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I don't know how many of you see yourself in Christ Jesus. When you come to God to pray, do you see yourself coming to God on your own? Or do you see yourself coming to God in Jesus? When you go out and walk in the world, do you see yourself walking in the world? What am I doing? Am I okay? You know, am I? Or do you see yourself walking in Jesus? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so the angels are following you because they are following Jesus. That is who you are. In him. So he went on to say that because you are in Jesus, you are blameless before him. Because you are in Jesus, you are holy before him. Because you are in Jesus, you are loved. He will never turn his back on you. I don't know whether this exists, but brethren, when I understood this message, my heart leapt for joy. I said, who am I that you are mindful of me? Who am I that you would treat me like, what did I do to deserve this kind of love? And the Lord said to me, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7, you have done nothing. I love you because I love you.
Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians said he did it because of the good pleasure of his will. It pleased him to do this for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, the Lord said, the reason why it may appear as if you are not fully enjoying, the reason why it may appear as if sin, because I hope you know that in Jesus, you cannot. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. That's why the Bible says, he that has the seed of God in him cannot sin. Because you are in Jesus. And in Jesus, you were crucified with Jesus. Your old man died with Jesus. And you resurrected with a new life with Jesus. Why? Because you are in Jesus. That's why the Bible says that you shouldn't be struggling with sin. Why? Because you are in Jesus. That's why the Bible says that affliction and sickness should not afflict you. Why? Because you are in
Jesus.
That's why depression, that's why poverty cannot be your portion. Why? Because you are in Jesus. And so the Lord said to me, the people of God don't have a problem with sin. The problem is that they don't know who they are in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The challenge we often face is that when you hear this message, you're not saying, Lord, so what do you want me to do? How should I respond? Should I not say that I can live in? No, you know. So let's go back to that passage so we can close. Romans chapter 6. Amen.
Amen.
I'm wrapping up now. Romans chapter 6. Peter says, if you are not manifesting who you are in Jesus, it is because you have forgotten who you are in him. Because you have forgotten that you have been cleansed of your old sins. 2 Peter 1 verse 9. Anybody who lacks the things that are his in Jesus, it is because he has forgotten. In James chapter 1, James says that you have looked at the law that set you free, and then you went away and you forgot what you saw in the law. Praise the Lord. And that's why he says in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18, you need to grow in grace. You know, Paul spoke to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3. Because what we do it the opposite. When you are not seeing the things that you are supposed to see in your life, When you are not seeing righteousness, when you are not seeing holiness, when you are not seeing faithfulness, when you are not seeing miracles and signs and wonders, we then go and say, ah, maybe I need to do more stuff. Maybe I need to do more. Maybe I need to do this more. Follow this. Do this. That's what we do. That's what we tend to do. And so in Galatians 3, Paul told them, how can you start in the spirit? How can you start in what God has done and then you will finish it in what you do? You don't need to do more. What you need is to believe more. Go deeper into what has been done for you. It's not the more you do, the more you get. It's the more he has done, the more you get. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're here, say amen.
Amen.
So Paul then comes in Romans chapter 6 and says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So he took the issue of sin. I'm very much tempted, but because of our time, I don't want to. Because if I showed you, you know, if I showed you what Paul said before he came to this verse, you'll be shocked what he said. If you go to Romans chapter 5 and start reading from verse 17, when you get home, before he came to this verse, he then asked this question. In Romans chapter 5, let me just touch on it briefly. When you get home, do your own study. Here's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, when you were in Adam and you were a sinner, how many good things did you do to become a saint? How many? How many good things would you have to do when you were in Adam? How many good things would you do to become a saint? Zero. Praise the Lord. Paul then goes on to say, now that you are in Christ, how many, and you are a saint, how many bad things will you do for become a sinner? It's Romans 15. Romans 5 and 17. Go and read this for yourself. Amen. That's the question he asked. He asked that question 7 times in Romans chapter 5 from verse 17 to verse 22. He said, if in Adam all men, because of one man's offense, all men die, so in Jesus, because of one man's righteousness, all men are righteous. If in Adam death reigned through one man's sin, so in Christ through Jesus, all life reigns through all. That's what he said. He said it 7 times. He then came to Romans 6 verse 1 and then I asked this question. So I know you are listening to me and you are saying, are you then saying we should continue in sin because of what Jesus has done? Can you see why that question is relevant now? Hello?
Hi.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
And I hope you know that this was why they persecuted Paul in the church. The people were accusing him that he was encouraging Christians to sin. But he was not. So he now came to Romans 6. Because the problem you have is not sin. If you are sinning, the problem you have is not sin. The problem you have is you don't know who you are. So he then says, are we saying that we should continue to sin that grace may abound? Verse 2. God forbid. Why? How shall you, that is dead to sin, mashanda kabo, repoko santelekete, pohika, how can you, that is dead to sin, live in it any longer? Hey! You didn't hear what I said!
Hallelujah.
How can you be dead to sin? Oh, glory to God! Paul says, the question is not, shall you continue in sin because of grace? The question is, what is wrong with you? Don't you know who you are?
Yeah.
Why are you telling a lie? Don't you know that the thing in you that makes you to lie has been crucified?
Amen.
Why are you committing lust? Don't you know that you are a brand new? You are dead and resurrected to a new life. Oh my God! This is why you must sign up for Growing Together in Grace. Because that's the problem. How shall you in Christ, who is dead to sin? Let's go on. Praise the Lord. You see, because many of us, we ask that Romans chapter 6, verse 1 question, shall we continue to sin without grace may abound? Then we say, God forbid. Then we now come to people and tell the people, okay, now so here are all the things you must do, so you don't continue to sin. But that's not how Paul answered it. Paul didn't answer it by sending you back to the law. He answered it by sending you back to the cross. Can I hear amen? Amen. He answered it by sending you back to the cross. Can I hear amen? Amen. He said, verse 3, know ye not. In other words, if you are continuing to sin, you must be ignorant. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ. So many of us, that's why after the Growing Together in Grace program, we do baptism. Can I hear amen?
Amen?
As many that were baptized into Christ, they were baptized into his death. Praise the Lord. He goes on to explain, therefore, if you are buried with him in baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, you have been risen to a new life. In other words, oh, let me go. Verse 6, no, verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of the death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, can somebody say, knowing this? Talk to your neighbor and say, neighbor, do you know this? Talk to your neighbor and say, neighbor, do you know this? Knowing this, that your old man is that part of you that sins. The old man was what? Crucified with him. That part of you that sinned is dead. Can somebody say dead? I saw the obituary, even if you didn't see it. Praise the Lord. I read the obituary. Herein lies the body, the old man of favor, of fable. When she was alive, she used to lie. When she was alive, she used to cheat. When she was alive, she used to commit all kinds of evil. But 2,000 years ago, on the cross of Calvary, she died with Jesus. And we buried her.
Hallelujah! Amen.
The question is not, why are you continuing to sin? Should we continue to sin that grace may continue to abound? The question is, what is happening to you that you are continuing to sin after all God has done for you? Something is wrong. Know ye not that your old man was crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed? You know, I used to preach, and I preached it in this church before, until some of our brethren even corrected me. I used to say that we are sinners saved by grace. But this passage says we are sinners that have died. They didn't save the sinner. They killed it. Can I hear amen? I said they killed the sinner. I said they killed the sinner. I said they killed the sinner. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You're a sinner that has died. And then a saint. Let's go on. Verse 6. Verse 7. Praise the Lord. Amen. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, so that henceforth you should not serve sin. You should not. It's an imperative. Yesterday I was talking to a lawyer about one of my clients. We're about to close the transaction. And so the investor is about to invest about $20 million. He sent us the transaction documents, shareholders agreement, subscription agreement. And then in those agreements, they were not saying things that the company may or may not do. So in some places, they will say, the company may contact the investor when such and such a thing is happening. But then in other places, they will say, the company should. You understand? When the agreement says should, it means it's an imperative. It means it's a command that must be done. You have, your old man has been destroyed so that you should not sin. You know, Paul was dealing with sin here. But I'm here to tell you that, you know what else applies here? Sickness. You know where sickness comes from? It comes from the old man of sin. And that old man has been destroyed.
Hallelujah.
So sickness cannot have rule over your body anymore. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me wrap up. Verse 8. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, and has no more, and death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11, the key verse. Likewise. Can somebody say likewise?
Likewise.
Reckon you yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Brethren, if you are struggling in any area, it is because you have not seen the depth of what Jesus did in your life. Let me say it again. If you struggle in any area of your life, it is because you are yet to see the depth of what God has done in that area of your life. Praise the Lord. And that's why the more you see, that's why the Bible says we should grow in grace. After all God has done to you in Jesus, how can you not live the life that he wants you to live? The question is not what will happen if you are in Christ and you sin. The question is what is happening that you are in Christ and you are still sinning. Is somebody with me? The question is not what will happen if you are in Christ and you sin. The question is what is happening that you are in Christ and you are still struggling with pride and you are still struggling with lust. I mean, do you understand what is going on? How come? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
The question is not what will happen if I am in Christ and I fall sick. The question is what is happening that I am in Christ and I am still sick. Why is it we ask it in sin? We don't ask it in sickness, or we don't confuse it in sickness too. The question is not what, why is it that I'm in Christ and I am poor? It is how can I be in Christ and I am struggling in my finances? Amen.
Amen.
How can you be in Christ and you continue to experience all the things that grace has taken away and none of the things that grace has brought to you? So today I want you to be angry. Praise the Lord. I want you to be mad. I want you to say, hell no, this must stop. Like the former president of Nigeria used to say, General Sani Abacha, enough is enough. Praise the Lord. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Devil, get out of my house. Get out of my business. I am a saint of God. I am a friend of God. I am holy in him. I am blameless in him. I am saved in him. And then, you then proceed to do whatever you got to do to make sure that that thing doesn't come into your life. Is somebody with me? If you are struggling with pornography and lust and all that kind of stuff, you put blockers on your car, on your laptop. I'm serious. You know, I was sharing with a young man that came to church the other day. And when they go to me, say, Pastor, my struggle is with lust. So I struggle with lust. So I took him to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. The story of David and Bathsheba. And I said, in that passage, the Bible says that when it was time for the men to go to war, David didn't go to war. He sat in his house. So I said, because by the way, I was sharing with him last Sunday, because 3 days earlier, the Lord had been speaking to me from that same chapter of the Bible. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
So the Lord said to me, and I said to this young man, you can see that idle hands is the devil's workshop. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
If David had, you know, God had sent Israel. If you're here, say amen.
Amen.
Am I boring you? Do you want to hear this story? I will wrap up with this story. Amen. God had sent Israel to go and defeat the enemies of the land, the Ammonites. So, when it was time to go and do the work of God, David sent his soldiers, he sent his army, he sent his commander-in-chief, his cousin, Joab, to go and do the fight. Then he stayed back. And so the Lord said to me, whenever you are not busy in the work of the Lord, you are open. You are susceptible. And if you check it, it is true. If you are preparing for a message, you are preparing to go and do evangelism, I am telling you, you will commit sin. Amen. Because you are focused on the things of God. That was the first problem. He wasn't involved. So I told the young man, number one, get involved in the things of God. Because when your heart is busy with the things when your heart is in love with God. You know, I was telling him, I don't want to preach that message, but I was telling him, I said, why would David, the captain of the Lord, the one whom the Lord chose from the backside of the wilderness to do his bidding, why would it be time to go and do the Lord's business? He now stayed back. Why? If you read Psalm 51, when he was confessing, he said to God, I will give you a clue. He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. David was not joyful in God no more. So when it was time to go and do the things of God, he didn't see it interesting or appetizing to go and do, so he stayed back. He said, I sinned. Yes, my sin took away the joy of my salvation, but I had lost the joy of my salvation even before I sinned. The second thing that the Lord said to me, because I'm going to tell us that, you see, this is what happens once you realize who you are in God. When you realize who you are in Jesus, and you say all this rubbish that is troubling you, then you come at it with all you've got. Is somebody with me? You even do more than the person who is following the Ten Commandments. Amen. Because you are, that's what Paul called the godly sorrow that produces repentance. What vehemence, what anger, what ferocity, to make sure that this thing doesn't continue in your life. That is why he said to us in the Bible study, if somebody is covetous and he finds out he's covetous and he doesn't want to stop, the person is not a Christian. The person doesn't know what we are talking about. Because if you know that you've died with him, the body of sin is gone, why should this thing still be troubling you? Second point I said to the young man, I said, the Bible says, at evening time, David was walking at the roof of his house, and he saw a beautiful woman. I said, you know what the Lord told me? The Lord told me that there are times of the day, and there are places in this world that during that time and in that place, your chances of committing sin is very high. You know what you should do? Run from them. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
There are times of the day and there are places in this life that if you show up there or either in time or in place, it doesn't matter how spiritual you are, you will see a beautiful woman that will make you fall. So, if you know that you are dead, if you know that you are not a sinner, brethren, stay away from that time and from that place. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Are you still blessed?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I don't know why I digress, but I believe somebody needed that word. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I close by encouraging us. I've just touched a little bit of what God has done for you through His grace. Over the next 7 weeks, in our growing together in grace, we're going to come at it from all angles. Look at that Ephesians passage. He said, He has made you holy. He has made you blameless. He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. What are all those things? What are all these things that I have in Jesus that I'm not seeing in my life? My prayer is that as we spend the next 7 weeks in the growing together in grace, so I want to encourage you to sign up. Your eyes will be opened. Because the Bible says, you become what you behold. And that's a very good point. So let me say it over here. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I said, you become what you behold.
Amen.
Can I hear amen?
Amen.
The more you behold who you are, the more you stand before the mirror of God's word and you see, this is who I am, the more you will be able to become that. Christians don't have a sin problem. They have an identity problem. And today, the identity problem is coming to an end.
Amen.
If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
I'd like you to rise up to your feet. Mashik Halimoski. The Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 2, I didn't get to that passage. So many things I didn't get to, but it's fine. I believe the word of the Lord has come. And I hope it has made you a little bit uncomfortable. And I hope it has motivated you to find out more about this, our growing together in grace discipleship course, and be a part of it. Amen. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, from verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, and you are complete in Him. You are complete in Jesus. You are complete in Jesus. You are complete in Him. You are complete. I don't know if there's somebody in this place. I know that there's somebody in this place. Not only you can get your life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or maybe you are listening on CD. Or maybe you are listening on the internet. Know that you have turned your back on Jesus. You know that maybe you were once in Him, and then at one point you said, no, Jesus, I don't want you to be any part of my life anymore. You took yourself out. But today you can come back and accept what He has done for you. Or maybe this is your first time. The Bible says, you escape if you neglect so great a salvation. How can? Why would you see all God has done for you in Jesus and yet you want to stay apart? How can you escape? If you have heard this message, all you have to say is, yes, Lord. My trust in you. I turn from the sin of living for myself and following myself. Turn to follow Jesus. If you are making that decision right now, if you are accepting what He has done, I want all eyes closed. And I want all heads bowed. And I would like you to say from the depth of your heart, Jesus, I believe.
I believe that you died for me. I believe that you lived for me. I believe that because of you, God has accepted me. And so I welcome you. I welcome you as my Lord and as my Savior. Amen. Amen. Church, let's put our hands together for every person who has made that prayer from the depth of their heart. Let's put our hands together for them. Amen. If you have made that your prayer, I'd like to see you after service. I have a book I'd like to give to you so we can read it together and grow together in it. But I want to pray for the rest of the church. Amen. You are complete in Him. The question is not should you continue to sin because of what God has done. The question is how can you continue to sin when with all God has done for you? Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Repent. Stop going to those places. Stop. Turn around because of who you are. Make some decisions to manifest who you are. Make some decisions. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to say do this. I'm telling you, I say you yourself. Sit with yourself and say, this is who I am. Sickness cannot hold me bound. Lift up your hands to heaven. Complete
in the name of Jesus. There is.
Thank you for listening to this audio message from Grace Life Center Charismatic Renewal Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit our website www.gracelifecenter.com or call 657-206-7729.
Break every chain, break every chain, yeah, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.